What I Have Given and Received from the Federation by Tom Bickford. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Tom Bickford. From the editor. At the 2013 convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, Tom Bickford, a member of the National Federation of the Blind since the 1950s, related what he has gotten through his contact with the people and the programs of the National Federation of the Blind.
Thank you, and that's even before I spoke. What is it that you get in the mail the most? Bills. Bills, yeah. Advertising. Direct requests for money. You guys know. It was true 60 years ago, 50 years ago, I don't know. In the early 1950s, I was a student at Occidental College in Los Angeles. The state of California had a program to pay people to read my textbooks to me. The man who ran that program was Bob Campbell. You'll see his name in Federation history. He was also the president of the state affiliate of the Federation, and it was obvious that he was using his student list to send out Federation information. We'll just forgive him for that. Toward the end of my college career, I was talking with my rehab counselor, and he said, you ought to go up to this orientation center in Oakland. They could teach you some independent travel skills. I had to admit he was right. So I went up at the end of the school year, went up to Oakland. The most important person I met there was Kenneth Jernigan. He was still in his late 20s then, and he was not the formal administrator of the program. He was the inspirational and philosophical leader, though. His ideas is what really made the place go. He taught a number of different classes. Every morning he'd come over and work out with us in the gym, and I mean work. I can't name all the classes he taught. He taught a class called Business Methods and Procedures. Now, originally, it was just that, how to run a business. He'd done it himself. By the time I got there, it was talking about issues of blindness. How do you feel about yourself as a blind person, and what do you expect you can do? And we came in, most of us, feeling pretty insecure. And then, what do you think of other blind people? What maybe they could do? What do you think of the sighted public? What do you think sighted public might think of you? And we covered all that specifically and in general. And he would pick on an individual student he thought was a certain place in the development of his confidence, and he'd say, now, Jack, how do you think about this? I'll set you up a situation here. How do you justify that? Now, why do you say that? Can't you think of this something else? What about this other factor over here? And he worked us over, and I was not exempt from those workover jobs. Okay, he did so many things, to make us think hard about our position in our development of confidence and independence. I took other classes there, one in cooking, yes. I learned how to use kitchen equipment and utensils. I learned how ingredients work with each other. And over the years, when I lived by myself, I cooked for myself. And later on, I got married, and my wife and I had two daughters. She wasn't always home to do the cooking, so I could cook for my family. And I really can cook more than rum balls. There's a fruitcake over there from Barbara Pierce's recipe, and it's properly aged. you gotta age around. It has brandy in it. That'll help it age. Okay, the other class I took that really has made a difference in my life was cane travel. Formally, 2 hours every morning, 2 hours every afternoon, and that was just the beginning. Any time we're walking around the building, the grounds, the community, alone with other students, we're using our canes, and that's the way to do it. Now, over the years, people keep asking, gee, you're amazing. How can you do that? I got tired of answering. I decided I would write it down. So I started writing it down, and I've got this and that. And I thought, gee, I've got a book here. So I sent my notes over to Dr. Jernigan. By then, we were both here in Maryland. And he said, yeah, go ahead and write the book. All right, so I'm there on the sofa, my Braille writer in my lap and paper on my left and paper on my right. I didn't have any computer skills at that time. It pays to have friends. Lloyd and Judy Rasmussen came to my rescue. And we ran up a few copies, and we gave one to Debbie Brown. Debbie says, you didn't think about this. Why don't you include this issue? So I did. And we sent it over to Jernigan. His answer was, all right, the next time you give this to me, I want a copy in Braille, a copy in print, and a copy in digital form. So we did. We did a little more editing. We sent it over him, to him. Now we have Care and Feeding of the Long White Cane. Instructions in Braille in Cane Travel for Blind People. The Federation made me a published author. All right, back to California in the 1950s. Jernigan was also president of the local chapter of the Federation. And we learned how the Federation works. We wrote letters to Congress. We wrote letters to our state legislature. We got involved in anything in the blind people in the Bay Area. We went up to Sacramento to sit in on hearings, legislative hearings. We went to the state conventions and participated in those. Well, speaking of conventions, 1957 came along. The National Convention was in New Orleans, Louisiana. I couldn't find anyone to go with me, so I went by myself. By Greyhound bus, 3.5 days. Now, that's a long trip without a bath. I know other people have taken longer trips and even brought their own children with them, but that's my first long trip. I learned a lot about the South. I learned a lot about the Federation, and I especially learned about a lot about myself, and that's another thing the Federation can do for you. At that convention, Ken Jernigan wanted to introduce an official membership pin. So he had 6 copies with him, and he gave them out, and we had 3 left over, and somebody just auctioned them off! So, all right, so the last one, $5, $10, $15, $17 to Tom Bickford. It's right here on my lapel by my Who's It pin. All right, back to California. My program at the Orientation Center was through, so I went back to my home area, Southern Cal. I joined the local chapter, the Associated Blind of Southeast Los Angeles County. What a name. I joined in, I participated, and after a while, they elected me secretary. I realized later that was my first office in the Federation. In those years, there was a group of people inside the Federation who wanted to get rid of Dr. Tenbrook. They were jealous of his long time as president. They wanted to take the Federation off in a different direction. And that was a civil war. And some of it got nasty. And I was in on that, and I gave and received blows in that. But they never did get rid of Dr. Tenbrook. And after 5 years of fighting it, they finally went off and formed their own organization. That's the American Council of the Blind. And they like to fight. In 1958, Ken Jernigan went to Iowa to be the director of the Iowa Commission for the Blind. And he was mightily successful. He worked 16-hour days, making friends here and there in the legislation with the Temple Sisterhood, anybody who had any chance of helping him out. And I heard about Dr. Schlunz, the chiropractor. He was already by then a millionaire. He called me up one morning, and I was still in Los Angeles. He said, Tom, how would you like to come to Iowa and be a rehab counselor for me? I most certainly would. So I got to Iowa in January of 59. Now, I can talk Federation, I can live Federation, but I'm not the right kind of person to be a rehab counselor. It's not my nature. So it came more obvious and more obvious, And so we parted company finally on very cordial terms. We both knew it wasn't going to work. And he actually introduced me to a program at the University of Iowa that was for rehabilitation counselors. I can go to class, I can study, I can pass tests, but I'm still not a rehab counselor. All right, listen, the next big opportunity was to go to Washington, D.C., and study Russian language, go to work for one of the security agencies. It happened again. I can study Russian. I learned it passably well, and I passed the test, but I didn't pass the big test, security clearance. About half of the students did, and I was in the half that did not, so I had to go find a job somewhere else. While I was there, I joined the local chapter of the Federation, and I participated, and after a while, they elected me president. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm not the only former president in this room. Orlo Nichols was also serving his term for a while. His job moved from Washington to Baltimore, so he followed the job. That's why. While I was there, there were two blind men who were refused admittance to a movie theater because they had guide dogs. Oh, no. How do we fight that? They were from Arlington, and I thought, oh, the congressman from Arlington is right here in Washington. He had Joel Broyhill. I got a copy of the Model White Cane Law from Dr. Tenbrook, and I gave it to Broyhill. Well, he wasn't going back to Arlington. He introduced it into Congress. All right, I'm in the Federation. I know what to do. I got a list of the other members of his committee, and at the next National Federation of the Blind Convention, I went to the president of each state, and I said to them, we are asking you to ask your congressman to support this bill, and here's a letter outlining the thing. The Federation came through. When I got back to Washington, Broyhill was amazed. I've got people from all over the country supporting this bill. All right, the next step is to get my members of my chapter to write up their testimony. We had hearings in the House. We had a hearing in the Senate committee. Congress passed it, signed by the president. We have a law 92515. It's a civil rights bill for the blind and physically handicapped. Now, since then, the Americans with Disabilities Act has superseded that, but that's okay. I don't mind. And that gives the whole country. I got married in 1968. Later on that spring, Dr. Tenbrook died, and Jernigan succeeded as the vice president to the presidency. The national convention was in Des Moines. During that convention, two New Yorkers brought in a song. They wanted to be the official NFB song, Glory, Glory, Federation. A lot of us know that. It's a good song. Okay. And just as we're about to vote on that, very literally, a young woman came running up the center aisle. I have a song, too. Jernigan says, all right, we'll have a contest. We'll have a committee receiving songs. Anyone who wants to send in a song to the committee can do that, and we'll vote on it next year South Carolina? Yep. Yeah, that was the next year's. Okay, and my wife gave me an elbow in the ribs and said, you ought to be on that committee. Oh, well, that's what wives are for. I knew what to do. I know how things go. I wrote a note in Braille, and I gave it to one of Jernigan's staff members that I knew, and he passed it along. Next morning from the podium, we'll have a committee, and it will be chaired by Tom Bickford. Hadn't expected that one. All right, so we had some good submissions. We had some not as good submissions. Now we've got a song and a whole song book. Well, there's Mary Ellen Thompson down here who worked on the book for us. I've come down to the end. The Federation has given me my life. What do I give in return? Money? Sure, give money. It takes money to run this thing. But how much do you give? That's between you and your conscience and your bank balance. What else do you give? Give your time. Look around this room. Look, so many people. Half the audience here is giving their time to make this program go. Give your talents. Well, I have some, but not all. Some talents. I know there are talents I don't have, so I don't work on those. But give your talents. Give your time. Give your imagination. Give your enthusiasm. And it has all come back to me with interest. And now I'm deeper in debt than I was before. And so I give more to try to pay off the debt. And it keeps coming back with interest. And it's a debt that I will never pay off. But it's a debt that I will bear willingly all my life.
Consider a charitable gift. Making a charitable gift can be one of the most satisfying experiences in life. Each year, millions of people contribute their time, talent, and treasure to charitable organizations. When you plan for a gift to the National Federation of the Blind, you are not just making a donation, you are leaving a legacy that ensures a future for blind people throughout the country. Special giving programs are available through the National Federation of the Blind, NFB. Points to consider when making a gift to the National Federation of the Blind. Will my gift serve to advance the mission of the NFB? Am I giving the most appropriate asset? Have I selected the best way to make my gift? Have I considered the tax consequences of my gift? Have I sought counsel from a competent advisor? Have I talked to the NFB planned giving officer about my gift? Benefits of making a gift to the NFB. Helping the NFB fulfill its mission. Receiving income tax savings through a charitable deduction. Making capital gain tax savings on contribution of some appreciated gifts. Providing retained payments for the life of a donor or other beneficiaries. Eliminating federal estate tax in certain situations. Reducing estate settlement cost. Your gift will help us make the study of science and math a real possibility for blind children. Provide hope for seniors losing vision. Promote state and chapter programs and provide information that will educate blind people. Advance technology helpful to the blind. Create a state-of-the-art library on blindness. Train and inspire professionals working with the blind. Provide critical information to parents of blind children. Mentor blind people trying to find jobs. Your gift makes you a part of the NFB dream.